if I was talking to a group of young kids,
please.
You know, I would say, you know, especially in the arts, whether you're an artist, you know, a writer, a singer, a dancer, I think there are, you know, a lot of rejections, as I, you know, as we've talked about already, and just remembering why you're doing it. What is it that you fell in love with?
Right.
The art, you know, to begin with.
Hello and welcome to Journeys of Maxa podcast. I'm delighted today to be here with Stina Hernandez, who's a dancer, vocalist, and author. She started dancing at the age of 3, and then much later got a Bachelor's of Fine Arts from Texas Tech University, moved to New York, was on tour as a vocalist with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and also toured with the Broadway tour of Rent. She's now an author, having published her first children's books, Lupita's Brown Ballet Slippers. She's written poems and short stories, published in High Lights, High Five magazine, and Little Thoughts Press magazine. She's a winner of author Vivian Kirkfield's 50 Precious Words contest and was a PB Party honorable mention. She was chosen as a Las Musas Hermana Mentee and is now a member of the Las Musas Latinx Collective, and is a Northern Lights Book Award winner for Lupita's Brown Ballet Slippers. This is illustrated by Melissa Castillo, and who did an amazing job.
Yes.
And last but not least, she is a Maxa parent. Her kids study piano and violin with Maxa teacher John Beard, and she herself was a student of Vita Scott here at Maxa. So, with all that, lots of things to anchor everyone to where you are. You've been very, very busy lately. I know since October, this came out in October.
That's
and
right.
And we're going to be talking a lot about this in a little bit. But what I first want to do is go back in time to before you sang, before you danced. You may not remember before you danced, because how old were you when you started?
You've said it before, 3 years,
old when I started.
Tap, jazz, and ballet.
Oh, tap, jazz, and ballet.
Yes, tap, jazz, and ballet in Odessa, Texas.
In Odessa,
where I was born and raised.
Now,
thank you so much, by the way, for that lovely introduction.
Oh, you're very welcome.
For having me. Of course. I have to say, that was really nice.
Well, I was really interested in talking to you about this, because we were talking as parents said, at a different event and that our kids were at, and you started telling me about this book you were writing, which I was like, well, that sounds totally amazing. And then when I heard about your background and being in New York, singing and dancing in New York, is like, that is, well, you know, you lived it, but that's a rare and special thing.
Yes.
Rare and special thing. So when you went back, though, at age 3, do you remember, like, of course you probably didn't pick it out, right? I mean, that was probably your mom, or like, how did that even start? Do you know?
So my mom is a single parent mom.
Okay.
And she raised 3 girls on her own. I'm the baby of 3 girls.
Oh, I see.
So my sisters are 12 and 14 years older than me.
Okay.
So they were already out of the home. They were already in college and away.
Okay.
So it was just me and mom.
Okay.
And so she enrolled me into dance to keep me busy.
Okay.
And to have some extracurricular something to do. I don't know. This is a great question that I should ask my mom, I think.
Yeah.
How did she come to dance? Maybe I had, you know, mentioned something about, I remember watching the Nutcracker and always loving the Nutcracker.
Right.
But I think it was mostly her decision to keep me busy. And so, and to have something to do, like I said. And so that, once I started dancing and really fell in love with it, then I was the one that was like, Mom, I want to keep going.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's how.
How you got started.
How
so that's
I got
interesting
started.
Cause you sort of said something really critical, because there's the starting of something, and a lot of times at that age, of course, the mom or dad or whoever is got a lot to do with
3.
That choice. Right. a lot of choices there. But then at some point you decide to keep going and see, and it changes, right? It changes in a sense. You probably started to identify, like, hey, I'm a dancer, I'm a singer.
Or,
well, at that point, dancer, right? Because I think the singing came later a little bit. But, like, what do you remember when it was that you, or was there, like, some experience you had that was like, wow, I really want to be serious about this? Or do you remember that?
So probably, wow, you're taking me back.
Sorry, I warned you.
No, this is good. So, I know I mentioned the Nutcracker. That was really, like, seeing that on TV and wanting to be a part of it. And then later we did the Nutcracker.
Okay.
Yeah, at my dance studio. And that was really probably, you know, really exciting moment. Mm-hmm. Probably like 5 or 6 years old when we first did the show.
Right.
And I remember being really excited about that. Mm-hmm. So that was probably, whether I knew it was happening or not, probably one of those moments.
A seed got planted.
Yes,
kind
for
of.
Sure. Right. But then I kept, as I kept practicing and dancing at that specific dance studio in Odessa, Texas, I had to audition to be part of the company.
Oh, I see.
To be part of the company that we would start competing and doing different conventions and things like that. And so when I auditioned and I became part of the company, that was one of those moments where I thought, this is what I want to do.
Because
I was a part of a group now, and I was, we were recognized, you know, when we would go to different conventions and, oh, those are the Judy Gorlin and Tammy Locklear dancers coming in. Started with Judy Gorlin and then Tammy Locklear. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Odessa, Texas,
please,
Tammy Locklear.
Please, yes.
Yeah, and and so later then that became really an important thing for me. And when I, like you said, that moment where I remember, I knew that I wanted to continue and pursue. Yes.
So there was like a good fertile environment, and you had you got to experience the stage very early. That must have been very amazing to walk out in the lights and all that, getting dressed up.
Oh yeah,
up
and we had a recital pretty much every year.
Okay.
A big recital at my dance studio. So yeah, those were really amazing moments that
so you
could
were drawn,
showcase.
You were drawn to the performance.
Yes.
It sounds to me like the way you talk about this was that like
always.
You were drawn to that, to the stage, and which is so cool. It's a special place, the stage, you know.
Unbelievable.
It's hard to describe unless you've been on the stage.
Yes.
It can be terrifying.
Yeah.
It can also be incredibly exciting.
Yes.
And clearly, especially when you're with a bunch of people, and you know, I think it can be really, really electrifying and
absolutely.
All that.
So
about
that.
How old were you then? When you did the audition for the company?
So for company, I probably was about 12, 13.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then that's when we started touring and traveling, doing the conventions and competitions. And then one of the other major highlights that's coming to me is we went to New York City. We won regionals.
Wow. Okay.
I think we might have been in Galveston. And we were invited then to the national convention.
Amazing.
To perform. It was a tap line, so we were doing tap, and it was Anything Goes.
Okay, yes.
So it's all coming back to me,
Okay.
But we went to New York, and we did this like 4 or 5 day Stars of Tomorrow dance convention, and we won.
Wow.
The national grand champions. Yeah.
That's a story right there.
Yeah, in our tap number. And
really?
So. Yeah, we were pretty serious.
No
when we
kidding.
Rehearsed, we were, you know, our group,
wow.
and we became family. Like it was a group of girls who became very close.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, those moments.
That's amazing.
How could I forget?
Well,
Never.
I mean, that's a great story because, you know, I mean, of course, if you're in Texas, those of us who are biased are in Texas. People really, it's kind of amazing. Anything that's competitive here is kind of incredible. But we forget. I mean, you go to New York, of course, it's like, you know, international level stuff there. And that y'all did so well. I mean, you won. I mean, that's like amazing. What a thing that must have been. Y'all must have been working very, very, very hard.
Very
I'm guessing
hard.
with all of the competitions and performances and dance classes and going places. Mm-hmm. Do you remember like what was it? Well, I guess so. Your mom wanted to keep you busy, right?
Yeah,
and
she wanted to keep me busy, and she did. That was her goal.
She kept you very, very busy.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember how? I mean, because that's a lot of dedication, a lot of intense work from the parent, from the mom as well.
Yeah, I was pretty much at the dance studio every day.
Yeah, right.
And
right,
on the weekends
right.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
really
it was
hard.
A lot. Yeah.
Wow.
But I loved it. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing else I wanted to do at that time. So.
So
it was fun.
So okay. So that leads me a little bit to this thing. So here you are. You're moving through high school, moving through your life. Success champion dancer, right?
Yeah.
And then it's time to think about college, you know. So like, do you remember like what were you considering? Were you thinking of I mean, we know you ended up at Texas Tech, but what did you think about like before that, or how did you decide I want to do this, I want to do dance?
So even a little bit before that, in high school I had joined the theater department.
Oh, I see. Okay.
At Permian High School.
Okay.
So Mojo, you might know, Friday Night Lights.
Oh,
that's
my high
school.
Okay, great.
And
yeah.
so very football, you know, oriented, but also really good theater department.
Yeah.
So I got involved in the theater department. I think I was like 10th or 11th grade, somewhere in there. And again, another group of amazing kids who wanted to be, you know, on stage and, and perform and learn about performance. And this is when I discovered musicals, where acting and singing and dancing come together.
Yes.
When I really got to see a script and, you know, hear a director get excited about it. And so I became a part of the theater department there and auditioned for shows. And one of the first shows we did was Steppin' Out.
Okay, wow.
And I was the part that Mavis.
Oh, wow, okay.
I can't remember now the actress who played it. I think it's Liz Minnelli.
Okay, oh,
who,
wow.
Who played it on.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And so that was a really big moment because that's when I really decided this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
I want
really
to be
really
on stage where singing, acting, and dancing comes together.
Right.
And it just blew my mind. And I was so excited to be a part of the theater that when I decided I wanted to go to college, that's what I wanted to study.
Okay.
So then when I applied to Texas Tech, I had seen, you know, all the theater department things and how there were auditions coming up for scholarships.
Ah, okay.
And so I auditioned for, I got accepted to Texas Tech and then I auditioned for a theater scholarship. And I did wind up getting the scholarship to go to study theater at Texas Tech.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So then you see this, you have this experience, right? You join the theater department, probably out of some curiosity. And then you discovered musicals, which of course is a vast treasure trove of all sorts of things. I mean, you know, a great music, great dance, great stories. That must have been really, clearly very profound, clearly very profound experience. And so you go to Texas Tech, and now you're in college. Now you're like, okay, this is happening. I'm doing this for real.
Yeah.
What was that like? And at that point, you were still focused mostly on theater and dance, right? At the beginning of your studies there?
Mostly, yes.
Mostly, okay.
Yes. They announce, like at the beginning of the year, the shows. And generally, it was two musicals, or one musical, one big musical, I think. Yeah, well, this is a long time ago.
Okay.
One big musical, and I guess three straight plays. I think how the season was announced. And so, of course, the musical.
I got to do this.
Right. There was Hair. There was A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Those are the ones that are coming to me now, and many more. But that, yes, that was something that I wanted to be a part of. So when I first auditioned, you know, I was the little fish, right? I'm just starting out, you know, and how do you get bigger roles, right?
Yeah.
Well, you get good by, you know, auditioning and being part of the performance and part of the ensemble, right? And so I had some background roles and things like that in some of the first shows, but I did have some singing parts.
Okay.
Sort of like ensemble sort of singing. And Mr. Gillis, Mr. John Gillis, who was the head of the music department at one point, had heard me sing and had seen me perform and kind of came over to me and, you know, talked to me about my performance and if I had ever thought about singing professionally. I said, well, yes, but I've never had any proper vocal training, you know, just singing in the shower, you know, or singing, you know, just on my own for auditions and in as an ensemble working with the director, musical director for the show. And so he sort of took me under his wing and he said, I want to help you and hone in on what's already there and let's do some singing.
Wow.
And so I kind of became part of the music department as well as the theater department, as well as I was already part of the dance department too.
Okay.
So all of those departments sort of work together, you know, when the theater kids kind of, you know, go around into those three, move around into in those three departments from what I've, I've seen.
Right.
It makes sense, you know, especially when you're part of the musicals.
Yeah. So that's amazing. So then someone basically, you know, you struck someone with knowledge and influence and he reached out to you. And, and did you then you started working with him, I understand, right?
I started working with him and, you know, realized that I had a voice.
Wow.
And
what
I became confident in that. And that's a really big moment that someone like him believed in me.
Yeah.
and he was my very first mentor. I didn't really know what was happening. I didn't know when we were meeting weekly, we would meet for vocal lessons. I didn't know that that's that
kind
he was a
mentor,
living in the moment. But as I, you know, worked with him more and more, I thought, wow, you know, like my voice is becoming stronger. And a lot of it was the confidence. Because I didn't know that I had, you know, that voice, but working with him really helped me.
That's a beautiful thing to say, because, you know, what's tricky a lot of times when you're working with somebody or coaching or teaching them is you've got, in order to help them do their best, you have to work on weak areas, right? Which, of course, if you don't do that with a certain amount of emotional intelligence, you can break down their confidence, right? And make them not want to sing, even though they may be getting better. They may not have the confidence to get out there, and to preserve the confidence while at the same time strengthening weaknesses. That's not an easy thing. What do you think it was about that him that you don't have, that struck that balance? You know, between helping you to grow, pushing you, but also keeping the confidence there.
So he himself, he was an opera singer. And so he performed professionally for many years overseas. He was leads in many operas in Stuttgart, Germany, and all over. So having that professional experience was really exciting for me, you know, to learn from someone like that. But also just his demeanor and the way, like you said, his words and his kindness and his encouragement all the time, encouraging words. And although I missed a bunch of notes and, you know, when we're practicing and things like that, but to keep me, to keep positive and to keep saying, oh, it's okay, we're going to work through that. I get nervous with really high notes because I feel like my register is low. So, you know, he would always tell me, it's okay, just let's easy, breathe, you know, and lose the tension here, you know, so much tension and let it come naturally. And, you know, just that encouragement to just keep going. So I think that that really helped me and to excite me to keep going weekly and to keep trying. And then one time I went and I just did, I hit the high note, and I said, I'm going to do this because he had, you know, inspired me and, and encouraged me to do that.
What did it feel like when you hit that note?
Amazing. I said, I can do this. He said, you just did it. And he was just like, you know, you got this. So, I mean, the positive reinforcement is everything, you know, especially, you know, I see my kids now learning to play piano and violin. And I use that in our home as well, you know, and I say, sometimes I say, you want to say, oh, you didn't quite get it right. But then you think, what's a better way to say, like, oh, you'll get it right next time. We just keep practicing, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, that's really important to know. And it's because what will happen sometimes with, it's good for parents to observe that, you know, to observe what's going on with their kids and just kind of how is the teacher being or the coach, whoever is working with them, are they being sensitive to kind of where they're at? There are times when they do need to be pushed. I mean, that especially like if you're heading into professional situations, right? Like you ended up doing, but it's usually more the case, especially early on, especially when you're new. Like even though you were in college, you were new to singing, right? He could have destroyed you. He could have, you know, if you had the wrong person.
That's right.
Right, and you were very blessed that you had the right person in your life at that time and built you up, because the but he's, I can tell that this person means a lot to you. Is he still with us?
He's not. He's no longer living. And so, another just such a special.
Another angel.
Angel. Yeah, that's right. Always with me. Yes.
Well, I'm glad you talked about him because that's really, really important. I think, you know, people, that's part of what we get when we have the right relationship with a private teacher is that ability to have that mentorship develop. Okay, so let's talk about what happened next. Sorry, there's so many interesting things I would like to ask, but just to get through things. Now, so you go from then there. You'd been to New York before. I'd already triumphed once in the competition in high school. Right? But now you're going to New York and you're auditioning. This is the big time. This is like Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
I have graduated. Like a big deal. I've graduated from Texas Tech. Okay. What do I want to do? Right. I knew eventually I wanted to teach. Theater.
Okay.
But before that, I wanted to try professionally on stage. And so I went to New York and I had an acting agent and they started sending me out on auditions and lots of rejections.
Right, that's what they
that
say.
Could be a whole other podcast. Yes. How do we work the rejections?
Exactly.
I'm still
that's
learning.
Very important.
I'm still learning how to do that. It never gets easier, but you know, it's just part of everything I've chosen to do. Seems to, you know, those are rejections are just a big part
you
of it.
You picked them very, very actually acting, dancing, singing, and being a writer.
Yes.
Those are very known for a lot of rejections.
That's right. Yeah. So working through those moments, and just auditioning and keep pressing through, through the nose. And then eventually I would get little things, you know, a little extra part on a, on a film set. Some of them, I did a bunch of extra work. It's called Fives and Under, when you'll have like one line, or maybe you'll just say one word, thank you. I think I said on some of the soap operas that film, you know, in New York. And so I was doing those kinds of things and auditioning and getting little parts eventually. Mm-hmm. And then just keep going, keep going. I still want to do something more. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I eventually got roles such as Rent.
Yes, amazing.
The first time I did Rent, actually, I was Mimi understudy.
Okay.
So I was Alexi Darling.
Right. Uh-huh.
And part of the crew on the tour, which was really exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was an amazing experience to be touring with the show for the first time. And so that was my first tour. Mm-hmm. And then many years later, I auditioned for Westchester Broadway Theater. Mm-hmm. And that's when I played Mimi.
Mimi then. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
huge. I mean, that's like the huge.
That was my dream.
Yeah.
Mimi and Rent was one of my dreams.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, one of my dream roles to play. So
then
I finally
did it. That's amazing.
I finally got to play it at the Westchester Broadway Theater.
Amazing. So and then because I want to get into your book and everything, but there's like first of all getting to New York and it must have felt like there must have been some moments of doubt I would imagine in yourself.
Oh yeah.
And how did you keep? I mean, we've talked a little about the rejection or whatever. How did what was there anything that kind of kept you going, or did you use a combination of things, or what? You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I think finding my why, and this is something also from Mr. Gillis, and in the writing world now, we talk a lot about this as well, and the parallels are unbelievable to me, you know, now looking back and then, you know, starting on this writing journey. Finding my why, and when Mr. Gillis would talk to me about that, we would talk a lot about how you're hitting the notes, right? I'm in the lesson and I'm singing the notes, I'm hitting the notes, but what is the song really about? How to get to that emotional or whatever the communicating that, which is another big thing, like in writing children's stories or any stories, right? And so I think tapping into that and finding and knowing what that is and why I'm doing what I'm doing, I think that really helped me through a lot of those rejections and negative hard moments where you do want to give up and you do want to quit sometimes.
Right.
So yeah, I would say like if I was talking to a group of young kids, you know, I would say, you know, especially in the arts, whether you're an artist, you know, a writer, a singer, a dancer, I think there are, you know, a lot of rejections, as we've talked about already, and just remembering why you're doing it. What is it that you fell in love with?
That's the
art, you know, to begin with, and holding on to that and remembering that, and so that really has been the reason I can keep going and get through the moments.
That's such great wisdom in that the why, and that's. You stay true to the why, and you keep working hard, and you keep going, and in a way, because you're fulfilling the why. In a sense, you're always succeeding in a way, right? Because you have some control over that. Whereas these other things, you can't really control them. You can only be out there. You could decide to never audition, But then this way, you're putting yourself out there, and you're always staying true to your why.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Let's get into this book a little bit. So I was so excited when I saw this because, again, you told me about it. And I just want everybody to see what you really need to do is buy this, actually. But these illustrations are just really, really beautiful. And it's just a really, it's one of the things that amazes me about this book is there's so much depth in here. And there's such a deep story. There's so many aspects of the story. And yet you have to hone your words down. I mean, that is so difficult.
Right.
To reduce the words to and every word is useful. You know, obviously you did this. You put it together. But that is a big. That's very 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 hard, as you know.
Yes.
So how did you learn how to do that? How did you learn how to get to focus your message so clearly like that?
Yeah. Going back to just briefly, when I decided I wanted to write children's stories, I think it's something that maybe a lot of people are guilty of, saying, oh, it's a children's book. How hard can it be?
Oh,
it's
right.
not very,
True, I guess.
But it's interesting that you pointed out how every single word is important and how really there is so much depth. And I think that might be a misconception when we first start writing for, you know, children's stories, writing for children. We think, oh, you know, it can be simple or, you know, just a real quick, easy story. But a lot of picture books specifically do have big messages.
Yes.
And kids are capable of learning and grasping these bigger concepts more than what I thought. Even, you know, when I first started writing, I thought, oh, you know, this is a little kid's story. And, you know, like I said, talking with other writers, you know, that's something that we all think when we first start.
Right.
But I joined the writing community. I joined SCBWI, different organizations, and started taking classes. Got a group of critique partners who I worked really closely with, sharing our stories and learning how to put a children's picture book together. And so that became, you know, once I got the rejections when I first started sharing with agents and editors, you know, that's when I realized I need to learn how to put together a children's picture book if I want to be successful.
Right,
that's when the classes came in and things like that. And yeah, you're right. Every word, every single word, because there's not very many words, every single word matters. And so how to do that, taking, you know, the classes and realizing how to put the spreads together so that each spread tells the story that you want to tell.
Right, because you have to be cognizant of, like, you can't just put all your words on one page and then a bunch of pictures, you know.
Right.
You have to have that spread and the let certain messages sink and I'm curious too, like, so when you work with the illustrator in this case, did you kind of give her some ideas, or like, because they're so intertwined?
Right. This is a great question.
Yeah.
So when the book was purchased, right, the book was purchased by Beaming Books. They're the publisher. Generally, what happens is they are the publisher is the ones who select the illustrator.
Okay.
And I have a little bit of say. It depends on the publisher. But they're ultimately the ones who are choosing the illustrator, and I'm not working with the illustrator one-on-one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's the publishers. There's an art director who works with them.
Okay.
So they are free to put their illustration and their own look and, you know, for the character. And Melissa Castillo created Lupita the way she, you know, envisioned her. I don't know that I really had a perfectly clear picture of Lupita when I was writing her, and maybe that's why, because I already knew the process.
So a lot of
when you're first starting, you know, you think, oh, you're gonna pick it and you get to work and you're gonna become best friends and all this stuff. I do know of her. We follow one another online and everything like that, but we've never talked about how spread 1 or spread 15 should look, or it's just part of the publisher. The publisher keeps us kind of together. So I am in charge of basically all the words.
Right.
And I did get to see some of the pictures throughout, you know, they would show me and, you know, some of the spreads, or all of the spreads really, and ask me what I thought and things like that. But as far as like final say, there is an art director. And yeah, that's how mostly the publishing world works when, you know, when putting together a picture book and the writer, if the illustrator is not the writer.
I see.
So, and sometimes that does happen.
That happens to you.
Where it's the illustrator is also doing the words. But in this case where I was, you know, where I wrote the story and she has the words, it's kind of a separate thing that the publisher keeps
us together. You know, it reminded me as you were talking about this of going back to musicals and all of the different parts that makes a musical come to life. Of course, it has to be written and the music has to be composed and the parts have to be done and all these things. And then you have, you know, of course, for the production itself, you have costumers, you have sets, you have lighting,
so all the,
I mean,
parts.
So much stuff.
Yeah.
It's really more than one person can comprehend, right?
Right.
So, and so you have to, I guess, lean into the trust with the other professionals mm-hmm. in the group, because and it worked out beautifully, because there are certain, there's a spread, I can't, I don't know if I can find it real quick, but where she's, well, there's two particular ones that strike me. So if I can find here, and it's, oh, this is one.
The Dream. It's one of my favorites.
The Dream. This is a dream here. And she's dreaming of dancing with lions. And it's really, really, really amazing that how well captured that was. And there's the one when she's working. Hold on. This one, this spread.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This spread has four words on it. Again and again and again. And you can just see her working hard to save up money for the ballet slippers, which I also thought was really cool that she was proactive, like her mom was supportive, but also like, hey, figure it out, you know?
That's
and
right.
And then she did, you know, she's doing all these jobs to earn money to save up for the slippers. But I love this right here,
really
that
cute.
Energy.
I love her.
There's just a great energy there.
Yeah.
But that
she's having fun, and she's also saving up for something that means a lot
means
to her.
That means something to her, yeah, yeah. So it's really quite amazing.
Thank you.
So you've been super busy. So you told me, like you told me before, well, you know, I'm kind of a private person and, you know, all this stuff. And then this comes out, and now you're at all these schools, you're doing all these podcasts, you're doing meetings and with all these people and everything like that. And what is on the horizon? And then, you know, looking ahead, maybe, you know, five more years or so, what do you think?
Oh, wow.
Thinking, you know?
So I am writing other stories.
Fantastic.
I have lots of other children's picture books specifically, mm-hmm. and also dabbling in middle grade.
Oh, fantastic.
So I've completed two middle grade stories, and I'm working on a third one right now.
Great.
I just started drafting it a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, that's my other dream now is to, you know, sort of cross over into middle grade, maybe even YA one day, young adult books.
Yes. Wow.
So, yeah, all of the children's kidlit, we call it, kidlit space.
Yeah.
Is just really interesting to me as my own kids are moving into
true.
That's true.
You're that seeing age. That. From an adult's perspective now.
Absolutely.
Right,
all
right.
of those books from the library,
yes.
you know, in that grade age range, age category are now in my home. You know,
right.
we've got Percy Jackson
right.
and, you know, all of,
of
these
course.
Books, you know, on my
right,
counter.
Right.
So
yeah.
that becomes, that's been very exciting and
you're
interesting
You're getting to
for
see
me.
The impact and, of course, you're living it, right, in the,
right.
the kidlit world. That sounds so cool. I mean, you know, you've had such an interesting background, so many adventures. And of course, what's funny is when we go through the adventures on ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't necessarily think of them as that. But from the outside, I mean, these things that you're telling me are so interesting. And you've had some wonderful guides along the way. You've also had to do a lot of it on your own as well, right? A lot of gumption. Your mom was extremely important.
So supportive.
The
book is actually dedicated to my mom.
Oh, how sweet. Oh, that's
for driving
so sweet.
Me to all the dance classes.
Yes. Well, that
there
was a lot. A lot.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
now
lot.
I know. See,
now
I'm
you
on
know
this
you're
side.
Living it. You're living it
driving
now.
My kids to music every week.
I'm also living that now as a parent. There's a tremendous amount of time on the highways.
Yes. So it's nice to be able to say thank you. Now
yes, it is. Time. Yeah, that you can really heartfelt. Well,
I'm
just so thrilled for you. One thing I want to say that I really like about your story too is you seem to have been a person who goes, huh? That sounds cool. Maybe I'll try that out.
Yeah.
Oh, I could take some classes in this. So you did classes with Kidlit as well.
Right.
Just like with voice, you know, you didn't necessarily know that this was inside you. You knew something was inside of you.
Right.
And then you found, or either was revealed to you, or you found a way to learn more about it.
That's right.
And then you did what they said, as well as your own self and putting yourself into it. And then you were consistent enough to get it done. People don't always do that, but that's something that I think that we can all learn from this experience with working with coaches, having something in ourselves. Learning from others, you cut out a lot of energy, right? Mm-hmm. If you hadn't done those literature classes, right?
That's right.
And now you know enough that people should be, you know, working, studying with you, you know, as well, which they should.
And so, I do actually give critiques now.
Fantastic.
<my website. laughs>
Okay. If you're an aspiring children's writer, check out the website.
Yes.
And that's StinaHernandez.com.
StinaHernandez.com.
Okay,
yeah.
It's a really, really fun website. You can see, she also has you also have a newsletter.
Yes,
right,
a
as
newsletter.
Well.
You right? can sign okay. up for my newsletter
okay.
there.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for
yes.
being here. This has been a thrill. I've been excited to have a chance to talk with you about these things. I feel like I would like to pre-book you for after your next book comes out, if you don't
awesome.
Mind.
I'd love to come back.
That'd be great. Thank you so much. And thank you all for joining us as well. We are very excited to have Stina Hernandez with us today, and we're excited to have you with us as well. For now, this is Ken Thompson from MAXA Musical Arts Center of San Antonio, wishing you well on your journey.